gospel for this morning is taken from the first chapter of the gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever known anyone who had an unclean spirit? Or maybe, have you ever had an unclean spirit? We don't usually refer to unclean spirits in the 21st century. In the first century, the worldview that people had was different than ours. They weren't shaped by modern science and all of the advances that have happened over the centuries. So their worldview is completely different. It was a two-dimensional worldview. In other words, they tended to attribute things not just to beings that occupied the world we can see, but also unseen beings who could come into our world and affect the way things are. And they called those, if they were destructive beings, they called them unclean spirits or demons or whatever. So I don't want to get into the 21st century tendency to try and explain away what an unclean spirit is, but I do think it would be helpful for us to reflect for a moment on how we might relate to the idea of an unclean spirit in today's world. So these are the things that I think could be termed an unclean spirit. Characteristics. Okay, number one. An unclean spirit tends to be overpowering, such that we feel as if we have no ability to free ourselves from it. We become a slave to it. Secondly, it exerts control over the way we think, feel, and act. Thirdly, it is self-limiting in the extreme, such that we feel like we are stuck and we can't do anything about it. Fourth, it robs us of hope and results in an inability to see any positive way out, as if you're locked in a dark room and you can't get out of it. And finally, it results in a kind of paralysis, an inability to think of options that could help us get out of this. You know, during the darkest days of the Civil War, when the Union armies suffered one defeat after the next, after the next, after the next, and things looked extremely bleak, and the newspapers would put the names of the dead and wounded, and the list was getting just astronomical, Lincoln's cabinet met in these dark, dark days. They were totally demoralized. They felt as if they were stuck. And they were ready to cut a deal with the southern states and let them go. Lincoln was horrified. And he turned to his cabinet and he said, We need to learn how to think anew and act anew. Then we will save our country. It's a good thing we had a president like Lincoln in charge, or history would have been very different. You know what you call that response of Abraham Lincoln to those demoralized people? You call it faith. It was faith. He didn't see any way out of this dilemma, but he believed that the right cause would prevail. And so Lincoln believed that it was far better, even if they would fail, to die defying a demonic power than to die after having surrendered to it. Now, most of us won't have to deal with anything quite as dark as Abraham Lincoln had to deal with, or the martyrs of the early Christian church, for example. But it's not uncommon for people who, after suffering the corrosive effects of negative influences on our lives, grief, traumatic experiences, a divorce, an illness, an addiction, any number of painful experiences over time have a very corrosive effect and can begin to result in feeling like we have an unclean spirit. We are stuck. It's dark. We don't know how to get out of it. We feel powerless. Symptomatically, you know, there's a tendency to just complain and complain about the situation we're in. We tend to attribute it to forces that we have no control over, and it's nice to be able to blame other people and circumstances. But you have to understand that when you do that, you're saying that you're stuck. There's nothing you can do about it because it's the fault of something over which you have no control. And we can feel extremely dark and hopeless. Well, hopefully these kinds of periods are temporary, passing, and eventually we get out of them. However, it is possible to get stuck in these dark, spiritually debilitating, and ultimately self-destructive moods. It is possible to feel so bereft of strength, so vulnerable to the downward spiral that we just surrender to it. I think the opioid crisis in our country is one such example. People feel absolutely powerless over this thing. They end up in the emergency room time and time and time again. And sometimes they end up dead. It's awful. There are countless social problems associated with this feeling of helplessness and an inability to find a way out of whatever dark room we feel we're stuck in. So in this sense, unclean spirits are still a problem, a big problem. The Gospel of Mark wastes absolutely no time getting to the point of his gospel. You might remember that when Jesus began his ministry, the first words out of his mouth were very simple. The kingdom of God has come near, which means the power of God is now accessible to us. It's now available for us to take advantage of in our lives. Imagine that. Divine power is available to us. And then he told us how we can access divine power. He said, repent, turn around, quit relying on other things to save you, to help you, to do whatever needs to be done when you're feeling like you're helpless. Repent, turn around, and believe in the good news. So it's very simple. Tapping into divine power happens through faith, by putting the trust of our hearts in God. God's kingdom means God's rule. And so then Mark, after this saying, goes right into the stories that illustrate what it means that God's kingdom has come near. This is what it means. A man is totally enslaved by an unclean spirit. He cannot do anything about it. It's not his fault. He's helpless. And in that particular time and place, people like that would have been marginalized. People didn't know what to do with people who lost all control, had what looks like a total emotional breakdown. They didn't know what to do about people like that. They felt helpless. So they marginalized, they excluded them. They kept them away from the assemblies. But somehow this guy got into the synagogue, right? And so Jesus does something that nobody has ever seen before. Because you see, up to this point, when people gathered in the synagogue, what they heard was this. What they heard was that God gave a set of laws, rules, ordinances, and statutes to Moses. And that we have to conform our lives to these rules, statutes, commands, and ordinances, whatever they might be. God does not countenance sinners. And so you obey these, you conform your life to these, or God will judge you. Now, most people, when they heard that, you see, they were astounded by Jesus' message because it was different. But they felt accused and burdened by it. They didn't feel like inspired. They didn't feel like something positive had been told to them because their lives were messy. You know, in real life, it was impossible for people to perfectly conform to all of these rules and ordinances. They couldn't be done. I mean, just think about it. What people had to deal with. Sometimes their child would get a fever and die because there were no medicines. Sometimes a person would be stricken with leprosy. No medicine for that either, so they'd be put in a leper colony. Imagine what that would be like if your spouse or your child was excluded from you and put in a colony, and you could never see them again. Or imagine this. 1 year, the rains don't come, the crops don't grow, you get yourself into debt, you can't pay the debt, and so the guy who's got all the money takes your land away from you. These people had to deal with real life, very difficult issues. And then they felt overburdened when they were told that they had to conform their lives to all these rules. Then Jesus comes along, right? And instead of overburdening them, telling them that before God, their righteousness was up to them. Regardless of what was going on in your life, it was your responsibility. Instead, Jesus comes along and he frees this guy. Instead of judging the guy and saying this guy must have been a sinner, exclude him from the community. You see, in Jesus, the message they receive is that God doesn't judge the sinner, he judges the sin. God takes the sin away. God does not put burdens on people. God frees people. So, whatever it is you're dealing with, know this, that the grace and power of God is available to you because God wants you to have abundant life. He does not want you to feel overburdened. He does not want you to feel like you're stuck in a dark room, the doors are locked and you can't get out. God wants to free you and give you abundant life. You know, it's like the disciples when they were stuck in that dark room after the crucifixion. They hadn't seen Jesus yet. They were in there. Fear kept them there. They couldn't get out. They didn't dare leave. And then all of a sudden, who shows up? Their Lord and their Savior. And in that moment, They recognize that God's divine love, forgiveness, and power to heal and set free is available to them if they turn to it and believe it. This past week, my brother, the middle brother, attends First Presbyterian in Berkeley, and he said they were having a class on Luther and Calvin and the differences between them. He wanted my take on that, so I was happy to oblige. But basically, you know, the answer was simple. Luther pointed out something that those first century Jewish people experienced when they went into the synagogue. He said, what the law does is accuse. What the law does is make you feel like you are worthless. You are a sinner. You are unforgiven. You are unworthy. The law by itself, without the gospel and without grace, leaves people burdened. But God doesn't just speak the law. God speaks the gospel. So, when you turn to Jesus Christ instead, what you experience is the divine power to free you from your accuser. The divine power to give you hope. So when we feel helpless, when we feel like those disciples in that dark room with the doors locked and there's no way out, and we can't, we don't have the power to do anything about it. So what do you do then? Well, you turn to someone who does have the power to do something about it. Jesus Christ, who is available to us through faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit, can give us hope, new life, and a sense that there is always a way to deal with whatever it is we have to face. We are never so overburdened that it is out of the question to find hope and the strength to think anew and act anew. I want to close. You know the Psalms, there are many Psalms where the Psalm starts out with the psalmist lamenting, oh Lord, all these terrible things are happening. Then all of a sudden at the end of the Psalm, it'll change, as if God heard the psalmist's prayer and responded. Here's Psalm 13. It's short. How long, O Lord, will you forget? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I have perplexity in my mind and grief in my heart day after day? How long shall my enemy triumph over me? Look upon me and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, lest I sleep in death, lest my enemy say, I have defeated you. Then all of a sudden things change. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart now is joyful because of your saving love. There is no darkness that Jesus Christ has not overcome. And as Paul said, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Amen.